This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues. A search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're talking lawns and gardens. If you have any lawn or garden questions, don't be bashful. Give us a shout. 893-1450 is the number. Anthony Tuggle is here, and he is manned to answer all questions. I mean, he has his computer ready. It's like a modern-day paladin. You don't remember Paladin, but he had a TV show, Have Gun, Rule Travel. Anthony is Have Computer, Will Answer. So no matter how hard that question is, Anthony has it for you. And speaking of questions, what are some of the biggest questions people have been asking over the past week when they call into the Ag Center?
Bart, we are having folks have quite a bit of questions about trees and lawn care. I guess we are in a real drought situation, and people grass is starting to grass is starting to suffer, and we're also seeing leaves have started to turn yellow on some of the trees, and to fall off. So they are.
That's really a bad sign.
It is, and really it's a drought situation. Really, the problem. Or if we get some rain or some kind of water, will help a lot of our plants out. So that's the biggest thing right here now. Just needing some water.
Now, don't you have a brown bag lunch?
We do, Bob. We have a brown bag lunch at 11:30 today, and it's on fall lawn care.
Right in line with the topic.
It is.
How magic could that be?
I guess that was real good planning this year on our behalf. Since we're getting a lot of questions at this. And we're also getting ready to also, especially people have cool season lawns, thinking about overseeding those cool season lawns. With tall fescue or some of the other varieties of tall fescue. And also for the people who have warm season grasses, like Bermuda and Zoysia, those are going to transition out in the next couple of months. And a lot of people like to have their green coverage year-round. So we'll talk a little bit about how to overseed those with annual rye to have their green coverage year-round versus the Bermuda turning brown on those.
So people need to be at that brown bag lunch today. It's free. It's 11:30 at the Lane Agri Park. And if you're new to town and have no clue where things are, how would you describe to people, how do you find the Lane Agri Park?
You know, I tell people on John Rice Boulevard, people kind of know what Casey Lane is on Highway 96. It's the same street. It actually changed the name at 96. And you know where a lot of people are familiar where Sam's located. So right the street right in front of Sam's, just kind of make that right coming down 96. And come on down, probably about 2 miles, and we're on the left-hand side.
Okay. And that's where the farmer's market is, too.
It is. The farmer's market is in the back of the building. And that will be tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. So well, what kind of items are at the farmer's market this time of the year?
Well, they still have, we still have people with corn. We have watermelon. We have some cantaloupes, tomatoes, peppers, squash, cucumbers. So it's a lot of the, and we have a few leafy vegetables. We start seeing some apples have started to come in, and so we have a few apples and things like that. So they have a real variety.
Well, now, these are locally produced vegetables and fruits then?
They are locally produced. We probably, one of the only farmers market is still, it's a producer's market. We don't allow the buying and reselling of produce. So we do go out and inspect our vendors and things like that to make sure they are actually growing those products.
And you know, I didn't really fully appreciate the benefit of that until just recently when my wife went over and got some corn. And I tell you, I have never had such delicious corn. And somebody said, well, it's because it was just picked, whereas what you get, you know, in the store, who knows when it was picked? It has to be picked and then put put on a truck and delivered and put out in the store and all that stuff.
One thing we promote is obviously locally fresh grown vegetable, but any fresh vegetables are actually good. But if they are locally grown and locally produced, we're really returning funds back to our community, because those farmers and their families actually live here and are part of the community. So we really encourage to eat any fresh vegetable. Obviously, it's going to be good health-wise, but if you can get it locally grown, it's a lot better, even more fresher. So
when you go to the farmer's market, you're helping the economy and you're helping your tummy, too.
That's right.
That's every Tuesday and Friday morning, 6 to 11. But I understand that it's important to get there early, because if you're there too close to 11, the selection's not quite as good.
They are limited close as you get to 11 o'clock. We do have quite some larger producers that actually have product to carry on up to 11, but a lot of them are backyard gardeners or home gardeners, and they run out pretty early.
Tell you what let's do. Let's go to the phones. Our number's 893-1450. If you have a lawn or garden question, Anthony Tuggle is here to answer those questions. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
How do you know when to dig sweet potatoes?
Oh, boy.
That's a good one there. How would you know that?
We normally do a tell for once the foliage of the plant start to decline some, that indicator is probably about ready. But really, you just have to go out there and try to dig a few of them and to see what they look like. If they look they've developed, then this is a good time to develop. But really, you just have to sample.
Okay, thank you.
Them, but it's not a real good way.
Yeah.
But the foliage dying back is an indication.
So the foliage on top of the ground, if it starts to die, that's pretty good indication that it's ready to pick. Is the sweet potato more difficult? Is it different than a regular potato as far as growing and as far as knowing when to pick it?
Well, they're about the same. Really, all of them are a little bit difficult for us to grow in certain areas because of all our rock we have. We don't have really deep soil.
So it takes deeper soil.
It does need some good soil. So she's growing sweet potatoes. She's in a real good location to have a real good site. But we know much rock and clay and we have here. It's a little bit difficult to grow.
By the way, if you have successfully grown sweet potatoes
or just
regular
potatoes.
Irish potatoes, call us and let us know some of the things that you've discovered about those, especially picking and things of that sort. 893-1450 is our number. And let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are y'all?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
My question, Anthony, is my yard is mostly crabgrass, and I'm wanting to go ahead and kill it, but I don't know if it's time yet or not.
What about that?
I'll probably go ahead and kill it. We're approaching the middle of and late part of next month would be a good opportunity to oversee that, so I wouldn't be afraid to go ahead and spray it around Roundup to kill it out. But typically what happens when we spray it, we don't get a good coverage over it, and you need to come back for a second application to really make sure you get everything killed out in your bed area and then start working it up and getting it prepared to overseed. So, yeah, it's not too early to go in and start killing those weeds in your yard.
Well, thank you very much.
Good luck to you. Talk to you later. So he needs to go out and spray the yard. He's wanting to start over, it sounds like.
Sounds like he wanted to start over.
Spray the whole yard with Roundup. And how long does it take for it to kill all the vegetation there?
Usually about 2-week time frame. You start really to see it decline real well and completely kill out. And you'll notice that you'll get some regrowth or some spots we've actually missed when you're actually spraying something like that. But then come back and do a second application, and he'd be ready to overseed.
Now, before he does that, should he take a soil test of the yard?
It's always good to have a soil test, Bart. Thanks. And basically what the soil test is going to tell them is form your pH. They're going to tell you the levels of your phosphorus and potassium, and also get a recommendation on how much nitrogen you'll need. So the three major nutrients will give you a good recommendation on. And if you need to apply lime and things, or sulfur to raise your pH, all that will be put out. prior to putting your seeds out, or even at the same time. But preferably if it's lime or sulfur, then we'd rather you, it takes a little bit longer for those to actually to manipulate the soil.
So he puts out, he does the soil test, and then he puts out the Roundup, kills everything. At what point does he put into the ground what's missing according to the soil test?
He can put it out right before you get ready to plant, because what you want to do is once you kill all that grass out, unless you're using a split seeder, and that's a piece of equipment you'd actually put slits in the soil and put the seed in at the same time. Or either you want to till it up and get all that debris and stuff out of there. So the seeds really need good soil-to-seed contact. That's the most important thing.
What's the best thing to do? Should you till it up and get the debris? I mean, the old dead grass and what have you. Is that a good thing to do, or what should you do?
It is. I'm a big fan of that method.
Okay.
It works real well.
So would you get the dead grass out as best you could before you till it? Because it looks like once you till it, it's going to be mixed up with the soil.
It's still going to be some there. It's going to be impossible to get it all out before you till it. That would be a good opportunity to bag your clipping and cut it low as you can and bag it after it died off, and then till it and work it up. You're going to have to still rake out a lot of dead grass debris.
Now, so, I guess the purpose is to get rid of potential weeds that might be hiding in there.
Well, really, to get out all the debris out, because you really want that good soil to seed
fresh
contact. Yeah, and there's weed season all around turf in the ground in the soil, so it's tons of weeds. We can't control the weed seed. We just have to manage those as they come up.
Okay.
But really, it's to get that debris out so you can have good soil to seed contact is the most important thing.
So we put out the Roundup this week, next week, next. I mean, this is a good time of the year to do it. How long after that do we wait before we put out the seeds?
The good thing about Roundup is it doesn't have any residual effect. We can actually spray Roundup this morning and plant seeds this afternoon. You have no effect on it. So really, once you get all of the bed preparation, it's going to be the most time-consuming part about going in, as you mentioned, with the Roundup, getting all of the debris out, tilling it up, raking all of the debris out, and preferably, we've also shown that if you kind of roll that or kind of pack that soil after you till it, it actually helped the germination rate out of those seeds to germinate. And then put the seeds out and lightly straw it. Not a lot of straw.
You really
want to keep some straw on there to help hold water moisture in place, as well as keep the seeds from being washed away while you are watering it.
Now, when you say roll it, you're using one of those things that punches holes in it?
No, that's an aerator.
Aerator, okay. So that's not a thing to do.
Well, no, I don't. When you think about aerator, it's basically just like the name says, aerate the soil.
Oh, okay.
And by tilling it up and working your bed, you're going to be aerating your soil already.
So you need to really do the whole yard as if it was going to be a garden. I mean, this is a big garden.
It is.
And is it going to be clumpy like a garden, and then it just Mother Nature takes care of it and the soil settles back down, or what?
Usually it get clumpy if the soil is too wet. Real wet, you get real big clump.
Mm-hmm.
So, now this is a good one. This time of year, hot and dry deals, it may be very difficult to till. You may have to water it a couple of days and then come back and till it and work it up.
And I guess once you put the grass seed down, it's really important to get it good and wet.
Keep it moist, yes, sir. Moist seeds germinate. Usually, tall fescue seed can germinate anywhere, depending on the variety, anywhere from, let's say, 5 to 14 days. But usually from 7 to 21 days. It's got an actual time. But usually they germinate pretty fast. You keep those seeds moist.
While we were talking, I was trying to think, should we say something about waiting until it looks like rain is in the forecast? But then I started thinking, the rain we've had, you know, when it rains, it rains. And a torrential downpour, would that wash your seeds away?
It's possibly it could.
So you're better off being in control, you know, on dry days, and you just water the lawn.
It is. And usually when we say we get rain here, you know, it may rain right across the street. We don't get a drop.
I've noticed that.
And especially if you're the one who's trying to redo your yard, you'd be the one without the rain. Your neighbor gets it all. So we see rain.
Absolutely.
So spotty all the time.
We're talking today about lawns. We're talking about getting your lawn ready. The fall season is approaching, and that's the time of the year that this is really the time, the prime time. And that also is the topic, as Anthony had mentioned, in the Brown Bag Lunch today. Before we take a break and check on the traffic, Anthony, again, what time is that Brown Bag Lunch, and what is the topic?
It's going to be fall lawn care, and that time is 11:30 to about 12:30 time frame during your lunch hour, and it'll be a lot more detailed information given at that program.
And that's at the Lane Agripark on the John Rice Boulevard next to Paws. So you can go over and get a kitty or a dog right afterwards, not before.
You get them after.
And then, you know, it's just down the street from Sam's, so that'll help you find it. 893-1450 is the number. We'll be back and continue the conversation about lawns and gardens and getting your yard ready and beautiful.
Once I believed that when love came to me, it would come with rockets, bells, and poetry. But with me and you, it just started quietly and grew. And believe it or not, now there's something grew.
Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated. We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I do feel that I have been given the greatest gift. They have been over backwards to help me.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not.
For the older people that have family members that are struggling with this, please understand, you only have to call this number.
Family Staffing Solutions, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been part of the Ford family for almost 6 years now, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Same employees, same great service. Ford of Murfreesboro, online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
If you play youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all Mustang, Blue Raider, and City League youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, and more at Played Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning. We've got a situation on State Route 840 where we have an accident with injuries where a person has been ejected from the vehicle. This is going to take some time to get cleared up. That's going to be as you're headed towards the Franklin area, so be very careful of that. We're also dealing with very heavy rush hour volume on Interstate 24 as you're headed through Smyrna into Davidson County. Learn to fly with the best. Nashville Flight Training will make that dream a reality. Call Nashville Flight Training 615-366-9192 or go online nashvilleflighttraining.com. I'm Charlie's on AWGNS Traffic.
Thank you, Charlie. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Lots of sunshine today, maybe a slight chance for a spotty shower. High temperatures still warm in the mid-90s with a calm wind becoming west. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Right now, 79.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Whoa. Hey, we're back again, having a party over here.
How I'd like to look into that little book, the one that has the lock and key.
That's the one that has all of Anthony's secrets on how to plant a garden.
That you care for.
Hey, welcome back. 893-1450 is our number. If you have a question for Anthony Tuggle, give us a call quickly. 893-1450. We don't want him to get out of shape on answering hard, difficult questions. So come up with something really hard for him. 893-1450 is that phone number, 893-1450. And have you had a good year, you personally, have you had a good year of seeing hummingbirds and wildlife? I was over at a friend's house recently, and they don't live out in the country. And I looked out in their backyard, and there was a turkey just ambling along. And, I mean, like when I say they don't live out in the country, they live just off of Northfield. And he said, oh, yeah, they come through here all the time. And deer, things like that. But, you know, the thing that I hear a lot of people talking about, and I have never seen one around, and that is the armadillo. Have you ever seen an armadillo here, around here somewhere? I mean, I know you've heard people say something about them, but I don't think I've ever seen one. People say that as you're driving along the roadway, they will get out in the road, and as you drive, you know, if your car goes over them and straddles them, they jump up into your car, and that's how they get killed. I, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say, why would you jump straight up?
Maybe get but scared.
That could be. I'm not sure. Just a reaction.
I don't recall. I don't think. I know I've seen them in Mississippi, so I don't.
Yeah, now you're far enough south. I guess, is it south? Is that what makes armadillos around? I mean,
I'm not sure, but I know they feed on fire ants some.
Uh-huh.
With us having more fire ants in our community, we probably will start seeing more.
Start
of them
more, yeah.
Migrate. I'm not only fire ants, they feed on other things as well, but we'll probably start seeing more of them.
So have you seen armadillos out there? 893-1450, armadillo sightings. I'd like to hear from you, 893-1450. Of course, if you've seen UFOs, let us know that too. There seems to be a large number of those suddenly being sighted. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking about unique things, armadillos, lots of, you know, turkeys, things of that sort. Unique to me, anyway. I don't remember, you know, just wandering outside and having a turkey come up and say howdy. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Had an armadillo spotting yesterday. It's one bed on 99 right by World Outreach Church.
So that's really, really close to a lot of people out there.
Yes.
Now, have you heard that story about they jump up into the bottom of your car? Have you heard that before?
No, I have not.
But he was dead, though. So he was on the side of the road?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Pretty good size, or what size was it?
Size of probably a full-size cat.
Yeah.
Probably would go 8 or 10 pounds.
Wow, that's pretty good size. All righty, well, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
You have a great day. Armadillo sighting right there on the New Salem Highway out there, that general area. Good morning, Kazunheit, too.
Thank you, sorry.
Anthony gets excited with armadillo stories. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi.
We have seen a pileated woodpecker. We live off of 96 West Franklin Road and Rucker Lane, and it has been in my backyard trees twice. I understand, according to the Google and items, that it's quite rare. he measures to the Google information to be about 24 inches long, and I completely believe it. Our neighbor saw it. I tried to take photos, but I'm not real good with close-up lens items. But he's very unusual, and I guess to this region, or any region, really rare. So anybody that sees one, enjoy him, because he's really different.
Oh, yeah, and I'm looking it up right now, and I see a picture of those, and they're beautiful with the black bodies, but a lot of white on the head.
It was a male, according to what I saw, you know.
Bright red plume, I guess you'd say?
Yes, yes. He looked like he had war paint on the side of his face, and he was bigger than a buzzard with his wingspan, because
wow.
He has flown, just swooped down over the backyard. We have Lombardy poplars, which are extremely tall, and he was in the very top of them both times. So I'm hoping that somewhere along the line he's finding a mate nesting this area, because I keep watch for him now. But
that would be
anyway, thought I'd share.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
And that is a fascinating bird, and I'm looking at a picture of it right now, Anthony. It says, normally these adults are 16 to 19 inches long, and she said hers is about 24 inches, so it's bigger than the average one. It says it's a very large North American woodpecker, almost crow size, and hers is the size of, some of the hawks, things of that sort. Good size bird, big bird, and beautiful colors, too. So, fascinating. 893-1450, what are some of the other things that you are seeing out in the area? 893-1450, woodpeckers, armadillos. Seems like all the armadillo stories we have, though, they're dead armadillos.
Yeah.
How do they get into the area? Somebody ships them up? And they're always on the side of the road. Have you seen a live armadillo before it gets on the side of the road? Are they all dead? That is strange. Have you noticed that? They're all dead.
You mentioned that, yeah.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I am fine. Thank you, Bart. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome. I have to go back to the hummingbird theme. Jack and I have, they're all back.
Oh, good.
There's no way to count them because they won't stand still long enough for me to go 1, 2, 3. But they are everywhere. We have for about 7 or 8 feeders up around our porch, and we have 3 or 4 crepe myrtles really close to the house. And of course, they seem to love the crepe myrtles too. But they fly back and forth to the feeders, and sometimes there are more than you can count around. I would imagine that. There may be 40 out here.
Wow.
It's hard to say. But we're not getting any work done at all sitting and watching them. So we need somebody to come mow our yard for us.
So you can watch the hummingbirds.
So we can sit and watch, yeah.
Well, Janice,
but Mark, you need to come by. Yeah,
well, I'd love to.
And your family. You just need to come by. And we've had a lot of people come by even when we weren't home and sit on our porch and watch them. So
they're there all the time then.
They are, yeah. They are, especially here. When it rains, they love, because the porch is covered. They seem to love that, the rain, and they're here towards dark, not real dark, but towards dark, because it seems like they have to fill up their little tanks before they go to bed at night, because they have a long stretch until the next morning again. But they're here all the time.
Janice, let me ask you a question. A lot of people have said that they almost become tame. Have you noticed that with the hummingbirds around your house?
They, if I stand next to a feeder and I'm real still, they don't pay any attention to me. They'll come right up to the feeder and drink, and I can be, 10 inches away from them. They'll come up to my kitchen window, because I have a red kind of a feeder-looking plant in the window, because they're trying to figure out what that is. I'm not sure they see really well. I haven't figured it out yet, because they don't. They sure can see one another to chase one another away from them, because they're so territorial. I've had people tell me they've taken their feeders down because they didn't like to watch them because they're so aggressive with one another. But they're just so interesting to watch that, and we just love them, and we just wait for them every spring and think they're not going to come, and here it is, you see, up in August, and they're at their. We have more now than we've ever had, and we're going to have a cold day come September one day, and we're going to get up the next day, and they're going to be gone.
Heading out, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so people need to set up their hummingbird feeders about what time of the year?
We set one up, like in maybe late February or March, there are scouts around, and although you only have one or two, they'll be around and they'll come to the feeder. And we see a lot of mating going on early in the spring.
So you want them to say, here's the place to come. Bring your friends.
Bart, we bring those feeders in the wintertime, and sometimes we'll have hummingbirds come to the end of the chain the next year.
Wow.
So they're returning, here from year after year.
That is so great. People need to do that. Thank you for sharing that with us today.
You're real welcome, but come by.
All righty. You have a good day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
893-1450. See, it's just fun to watch nature. I mean, that is so neat, having the hummingbirds out there. What are you finding? Are some of you having some other unique creatures that you're out there watching? And I still say I'm seeing more and more of these birds of prey. Now, they're beautiful, but they're not something I'd want to have come sitting on my arm or something. Some of these things are beautiful at a distance, like a vulture, beautiful far away, because they almost look like eagles. But it's one of those things, if you get up close, you'd probably have to be a mother vulture to think that that's beautiful. For some reason, I don't. But you see them. I've started seeing them on the tops of houses too, sitting on. That's a weird bird to see sitting on the top of somebody's house. Makes you think about an Alfred Hitchcock movie or something. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Fine, Bart. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
I have a question for Anthony about a lilac bush. What do you do for mildew on a lilac bush? And I'll hang up and listen. Mine is just now blooming. It's not bloomed all year.
Before you hang up, is your mildew on the top of the foliage or underneath the foliage?
It's on the top of it, I believe.
Okay. The reason I ask is there are two different type of mildew that actually affect it, which would be on top, powdery mildew, and we can use a fungicide called Daconil. We will actually work fine on that. But with underneath, it would be a downy mildew type, and we have to do something different. So, yeah, Daconil will work.
So if it's on top, use Daconil. Yeah. How do you spell that? Or does
spelling is not my one.
D-A-C-I-O-N-A-L. D-A-C-I-O-N-A-L. Okay. Is that one of the ingredients, or is that
the active ingredient is, it's a longer word, it's carnitinol.
So if you went into the store and said, I want some Daconil, they would know.
They don't know what it is.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. 893-1450 Daconil, if it's on top.
That just happened to be with lilac, and it happened to be susceptible to both. Daconil is not as, it will work on downy mildew, but it's not as effective as some other fungicides would be on some of those other disease problem. So really the good thing about any kind of fungicide, the best control is to get it early. And lilac is one of those plants that are really known for powdery mildew problem. So you really, it's the best, let me start over. Fungicide works better as a preventive. So you really want to put it on to prevent the disease from actually happening versus trying to cure the plant once it gets there.
Now, she had indicated that hers is just now really becoming beautiful. So if you're wanting to do some planting and you wanted to add some things to your landscape, that's not one you'd be planting anytime soon then, is it? The lilacs.
It is a pretty plant. It's not on one of my favorite lists.
I'm talking about when should you plant it? Because we're moving into a time when you can usually, this is anything, trees and bushes and what have you.
I'm still a big fan of fall planting, most of all trees, shrubs. Because typically the weather, most of the plants go in a dormant or semi-dormant state in the wintertime frame. And they won't need as much tender, loving care if you plant them during that time of the year, so that they're more likely to be more survival, to increase their survival rate versus planting them midsummer like now. So I will wait to plant most of all our trees and shrubs.
Now, I've noticed that a lot of commercial locations that have yards that Mother Nature didn't make, like on top of, like the Civic Plaza in Murfreesboro, which all of that area up there is built on top of a roof, basically. I mean, you've got the garage under it, so it's a concrete roof. And I've noticed that some of those trees are not quite as straight. Is it because the earth is not deep and their roots can't go down? And is this something that people who are trying to plant, you're seeing more and more buildings with gardens on the roof now. Is this going to be a problem for them where you're limited maybe to smaller trees?
That was what I was going to mention. Usually a lot of times you want to plant plants that have that don't have a real deep root system, and that are typically smaller and planting, or have them in some kind of planters that still don't have a real deep root system, will typically do better. You will have to water them and nurture them a little bit more, just because usually, depending on how the roof is designed and depending on how much cement or asphalt there, they will heat up more and things like that. But it is all about the design. Some of them, from what I've studied on it, that they actually have water kind of between the roof and the floor. They actually kind of aquacultural.
Is that on purpose or did it just happen? Okay.
It's designed. So it's all about some of the designs that they're actually in.
Now, for somebody, and there are a lot of people here who are trying to grow palm trees, and I mean, we've heard people talking about banana plants and what have you. If you were able to get one that did not grow too tall, and you could roll it into the house for wintertime, what would that be? I mean, do they have dwarf palm trees that maybe don't grow over 4 feet tall or 3 feet tall? Is there such an animal or such a plant?
With the technology we have now, I'm probably going to say that possibly yes, but I'm really don't know anything about palm trees.
It seems like they're getting popular around here. I mean,
we do have some people that actually grow some palm trees, and they take them up in the winter and put them under their house, in the crawl space, do different things with them, from what I've heard. But
tree.
I don't know if they cut them back or what are they doing with them. I don't really have a lot of experience with the palm trees.
So. If you are a palm tree person, call and tell us your experience, whether it has been good or bad. Call us, 893-1450. Maybe you have a neighbor who has a palm tree and maybe they don't want to share what's happening with their palm tree. Call us and tell us what you've observed. We'll be back and continue the conversation, Lawns and Gardens. That's our topic every Thursday on WGNS.
WGNS Murfreesboro is true blue. Blue Raider sports on WGNS. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Hi, this is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire, inviting you to come to our annual Labor Day tire blowout sale. All tires sold at cost Friday, September 2nd, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, September 3rd, 7 a.m. to noon. Free food, free alignment checks both days. Buy now and install later. Buy any four Michelin tires and receive a $70 MasterCard rebate.
Hi, this is Joe at Southeastern Tire. We employ ASC-certified technicians. We are a full-service auto repair facility. We are located between Kmart and Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Head on over there. Let Sean and the gang help you at Southeastern Tire, especially during their Labor Day blowout. You will be happy you went to Southeastern Tire.
We're here at the Co-op Farm and Home Center talking with Tina. We are in the garden and patio area. As you hear in the background, beautiful fountains.
We have all different kinds of fountains. We even have the nice wall fountains. You can build your own fountain out of flower pots. We have the kits that you can do that with. We also have lots of patio furniture, nice patio sets, really good concrete statuary pieces.
All of that here at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
Weather Eye.
Lots of sunshine today, maybe a slight chance for a spotty shower. High temperatures still warm in the mid-90s with a calm wind becoming west. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Right now, 79.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
There is no safer place in the storm. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Well, that song brings back memories to me anyway. When I was a kid, that was one of those unique things. It was recorded in a parking lot garage. You know how bad those sound. In downtown Nashville on 7th Avenue, a garage, and that's where that hit, it was a big hit, was recorded. And if you listen, you can tell it's a little different sounding.
And the swingin'est song they could ever be is a night trip of daddy G. Let me tell you that I never had it so good. Yeah, I know you never did until you get that kind of with that jive. I take a band like the church street vibe. Don't you know that I dance till the quarter of three.
Well, enough of that. Let's get out of the garage. Too many exhaust fumes in here. Yeah,
sounds good.
Yeah, it was interesting. People did different things back then. Experimented with music and, I mean, hey, let's try recording one in a garage. Oh, okay. Yeah, we did it last time in the bathroom of the house. Let's do the garage this time.
Every room in the house, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Les Paul and Mary Ford did it in the kitchen. They recorded a lot of their music there at the kitchen sink because they liked the reverb sound. Let's go to the phones again. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi.
Art, There's a home on Warrior Drive here in Murfreesboro that usually has some palms growing every year. I believe they're from the old Palmetto palm family. Now, the queen palm is the one that grows tall and drapes like an umbrella. It's a beautiful tree, but these are short and sort of, I don't know how to describe them, other than they're sort of stubby-like. They're not as beautiful as the palm.
Now,
as the queen palm.
Is the palmetto palm the one that you find in North and South Carolina?
I don't really know. We spent considerable time in Florida in the winter, and the palms there that we had at our location was the queen palm, and they're the ones that grow so tall and drape, and they're beautiful.
Okay.
But these others are sort of, they're much shorter and have, they're not as pretty.
Okay.
But I don't know about the Carolinas.
Alrighty. So palmetto palm, okay.
I'm sure that it's from that family.
And those are over on that house on Warrior Drive then?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, it'd probably be pretty easy to spot that one then.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Not many palm trees around.
It's a home over there, and he has lots of rock and a pond out front and so forth. And in the past, I haven't been over there in the last recently, but he has had palms in the past over there.
Mm-hmm. Has he had pretty good luck with those?
Seems to be.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, we thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Bye. And I guess it was one New Year's Eve. I had a cousin who said, why don't we go somewhere different for New Year's? And they had a deal at a place over on Virginia Beach. And I thought, hey, that sounds neat. Virginia Beach on New Year's. I didn't stop to think. I mean, you think about the ocean and all that. Boy, that sounds fun. It was as cold on Virginia Beach as it is in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in January. And that's usually pretty cold. And we went out once at night and walked along the sidewalk there. And they had these palm trees, which I thought was pretty interesting, up and down the main road along the ocean. I guess because it set the mood. You expect a palm tree. But obviously, it was weather as cold as we have here in Murfreesboro. And what they did, they had the big leaves down on the side, pointing toward the ground, like you would if you were a person just standing with your arms down. And they had those wrapped with some type of paper. Wow. Protecting it. And looked like they probably did it for the whole season. I mean, this was a pretty permanent-looking job. So maybe that's what you have to do.
Got to go to Texas or somewhere south for New
Year. Well, it was fun there, but it was cold. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good.
I don't know if I'm calling at the right time or not, but I just wanted to tell you about a subdivision yard sale.
Well, this
Battleground
is
Place.
Battleground Place. When is the yard sale?
Saturday the 27th. That's this Saturday.
Okay. Saturday the 27th. And where is it again?
It's in Battleground Place, which is right off of Battleground Drive.
Oh, okay. All righty. This Saturday, Battleground Place big yard sale.
Right.
All righty. Well, thank you for telling us all about that.
Thank you.
You have a good day. And we have just a couple of minutes left here. So before we say so long, I want to remind everybody about that brown bag lunch today. And that's 11:30, is that right?
11:30. Come on out, bring your lunch, and enjoy a good educational program. Talk about fall lawn care. I mean, if you have some detailed questions or some specific questions about your yard, we'd be glad to answer those during the program, after the program, or before the program. So just come out, and we do have some turf plots out there as well. We can talk about some of those if you want. Look at some different, especially if you're thinking about overseeding this fall. You might want to come out and look at some of our turf plots that we have and try to talk about some of the varieties we have that we're growing and what we think about some of those varieties you may be interested in growing. So we have over 20-some different varieties of turf grass out.
And if you have the extra time before you go out there at 11:30 this morning at the Lane Agripark, run home, take a few soil samples. How deep should you go?
Preferably 6 to 8 inches deep, and we need about a pint of soil. Just don't dig it out of one spot. You want to dig it around 10 to 12 spots. You will be the representative sample of your entire yard.
Mix it all up?
Mix it all up. We'll need about a pint to send to the lab and test. And
bring that with you, and you can kill two birds with one stone if you're wanting to do that.
That will be
good. Okay. 11:30 today at the Lane Agripark. Anthony, I don't know where the time has gone.
We
got folks wanting to ask questions still, and we're flat out of time. We're going to have to do this again next Thursday.
Let's do it. I can call the office in the meantime, and we'll try to answer them.
And what's the number at the office?
898-7710.
898-7710. Give Anthony, though, about 3 minutes to get back.
I don't think I drive that fast, Bob.
Well, that's not what I heard. Anthony Tuckle visiting with us this morning. Tomorrow, if you are a soldier or if you have a friend who is a soldier and having a rough time, not quite fixed, blending in with society yet, we have a program that's going to help you on that. That'll be tomorrow right here on WGNS Murfreesboro. Thanks for joining us.